certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I mean that, so if you'll say a silent prayer for me, I would very much appreciate that. I value being in the house of the Lord this morning. I appreciate the opportunity and the privilege that the Lord has given us to be visited by His Holy Spirit when we have open hearts, willing to hear it. Very much value having an opportunity to make my calling and election sure. And I want to do my part. As that song said that we just heard, Lord, whatever you ask, I want to be willing to do it. I want that to be more than a testimony of my lips, but I want it to be manifested by the conduct of my life. I've written on the board, finding our way. This is a little series that we've been spending a little bit of time on. Really, that's why we, one of the reasons why we come to church. That's one of the reasons why we preach, teach, read the Bible, is because we're trying to find our way and make it home. So it's not that this series is, well, we're going to talk about how to make it to heaven and everything else doesn't have anything to do with finding our way home. But I've been especially inspired with this series of messages, particularly for those that are feeling additional responsibility at this time of their life. Getting to that age where more and more decision-making is resting upon your shoulders. You've got to make a decision. Which way am I going to go? And I want you to make it home safely. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have blessing in life. And we've spent a number of messages on this series. We started off speaking on the subject of those times where we come to places where we don't have maybe full understanding of. Maybe we don't have established personal convictions for ourselves. Yet a decision has to be made. Life goes on. We spent some time that particular Sunday endeavoring to establish a vision and an objective for life by which to make decisions around and from. And that is that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing Christ and reflecting Christ to the world. And that we make heaven our home and that we help others make heaven their home too. And that if when we come to those forks in the road and it's time to make a decision on how am I going to order my life? How am I going to order my home? What am I going to do about this? Mom and Dad have taught this, but now it's time for me to make a decision. I've heard this at church all of my life, been taught, but now it's my time to order my home and my life. What am I going to do? It's safe. It's good. It's sound to go back to that foundational vision and objective that we will continue to repeat, and that is, Lord, this decision that I'm going to make, can I say from my heart that I am making it, endeavoring to be consistent with this objective that I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness more than anything else? And I want to do it in a way that, Lord, this decision that I'm going to make, I want it to help me to get to know you better. I want to do it in a way that reflects Christ to the world, and I'm doing it with a thought and with the intent in mind that when I'm all done, there's an old phrase that's used all the time where people say, well, at the end of the day, X, Y, Z. At the end of the day, I make heaven my home. That when all is said and done and the story of my life is complete, that when I look at the end of it, it says, He made it home safely. That's more important than anything else. And that by the grace of God, I can help somebody else make it home too. So So we've spent time talking about that relative to finding our way home. And then we spent some time speaking on the subject of living our lives and making decisions in a faith-based manner, in a Word of God-based manner, versus making decisions based on my feelings and my emotions and, well, this is what I think is right, so that's what I'm going to do until I think otherwise. There's a different way to do it than that. Last Sunday, we spent time considering range of outcome. When I come to make these decisions, this time of life where it's up to me now, how am I going to order my life? What am I going to do? How am I going to spend my time? What am I going to allow into my home? How am I going to present myself to the world? What are my beliefs going to be that I make decisions around? That I consider when I say, well, this is what I intend to do, this. That I look on either side of that, and I ask the Lord to help me understand, what is the range of outcome if I do this? What do I expect? What's the expected case if I do this? What's the downside case? Have I thought about that? If I do this, is there some harm? Is there some downside that I haven't considered? And if I look at the expected case and the downside, and I realize that isn't consistent with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and knowing and reflecting Christ and making heaven and help others make heaven, then maybe I should reconsider the decision that I make. So that in 6 minutes or so is a summary of the last few Sundays. This morning, I've written on the board, beware the echo chamber. And that's the subject that I'm inspired to speak about for a few minutes today. And I'd like to begin by reading a story found in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. And sometimes I ask this question ahead of reading because I know what it can be like if I'm the one sitting in the pew and somebody else is standing up here. And that is, when you start reading any number of verses, sometimes it's easy to let your mind go, become distracted by other things. And I ask you this morning if you would listen to these verses that are read. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel was come to Shechem to make him king. Rehoboam was Solomon's son. And so he was coming to be made king, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, okay, so Rehoboam is going to be made king, and so there are people now that are coming to Rehoboam to make their case regarding him becoming their king. And they said unto him, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put on us lighter, and we'll serve you. We've had it hard, but if you'll make it lighter, we'll serve you. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. So the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men, with the elders, that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived. And he said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if you'll be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, of the elders, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what do you think I should say to the people? What counsel do you think that I should tell the people? They're asking me to make the yoke easier on them that they bore for my father. What do you say? And in the 10th verse, the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, this is what you should say to the people. that have told you that your father made their yoke heavy. This is what you should say. Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. You think that was bad? Just wait. And now, whereas my father did lade you with the heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and he forsook, says it again, he forsook the advice, the counsel that he was given from the elders that had seen a whole lot more than the young men had. And that's what he told them. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And the 19th verse says, so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And I'd like to consider more closely who he received counsel from and from whom he rejected counsel. Verse 8 says that he forsook. He forsook the counsel, it says, the advice of the old men, of the elders. Forsook in this sense doesn't mean that he gave it really good consideration and gave it thought and asked the Lord to help him understand, Lord, what do I do with this counsel that I've received from the elders? Lord, by your Holy Spirit, lead and guide me and help me to do my part to understand how I can be a good king. Forsook in this passage does not mean that he considered it that way. He rejected it. Put it to the side. Really, that wasn't what he was going to go with. Advice that had been given by people that no doubt, it was true. They had more experience. They had seen things that he had not seen. They had been here before. They had seen, as the phrase goes sometimes, they'd seen the good, bad, and the ugly. They saw good decisions, and they saw decisions that didn't turn out so good. This does not say that they were perfect. It didn't say that they had faultless advice to give. It doesn't say that just because they were old, that everything that they said was true and that you should go according to whatever they said just because they were old. But the point was made in verse 6 that they had something to offer that the young men didn't have to offer. They had stood in places that the young men had not stood up until that point in their life. They reflected a perspective that these young men did not have the opportunity to have at this point in their lives. And verse 8 also describes who he did listen to. Said, the young. The young that had grown up with him. That stood before him. He had their ear. They had his ear. And that's who he took advice from. There's nothing wrong with youth. I would like to still consider myself youth, but I can't. Youth is good. I like youth. There's something about youth that can't be replaced. When you lose youth, doesn't say it's bad, but there's something about youth and the absence of experience that can't replace experience, too. By the same token. And I notice again here that in verse 10, once again, the point was reinforced, the young men that had grown up with him, perhaps similar experiences, perhaps similar perspective, similar thoughts, well, it could relate to them more easily, more comfortable in their presence, and They gave advice, I suspect, that was more consistent with what Rehoboam wanted. It was going to bring more to himself personally, he thought. Tax him more, get more from him, work him harder, expand the kingdom. He didn't think about it correctly, but perhaps that's what he thought. But this narrative ends as a cautionary tale that was put in the scriptures for us, emphasizing the importance of giving strong consideration to the counsel of the wise, to the counsel of experience, even if it is outside of what you would like to hear. And that leads to the point of the message this morning, that we be careful not to be led astray or deceived by what is sometimes called an echo chamber. Have you ever heard that term before? Echo chamber. What is a literal echo chamber? Have you ever been in a cave or maybe in a where there's a lot of rocks or a closed-in area or a room with a tile floor and sheetrock walls and you close the door and there's an echo so that if you say something, it's almost like it repeats back to you what you just said.
If you make a low noise, you get a low noise back.
If you make a high noise, you get a high noise back. And if you say it quickly, you say the same thing over and over, it almost sounds like it's just a chorus of feedback from all different directions that's repeating back to you what you just said, and the response is coming from everywhere. Right? It's kind of fun as a child to be in one of those, and maybe not as a child, but as an adult too, sometimes it's fun to be in an echo chamber. So figuratively speaking, an echo chamber, and this could be defined different ways, but here's what we want to be on guard about. And that is selective listening. Selective listening. In other words, I'm trying to make a decision on what I'm supposed to do. But I'm only going to listen to this. Now, there are some things, lest the enemy take advantage of our message this morning, that we don't want to give ourselves to listen to. I'm not speaking of going out and listening to things that we already know that have been pre-established as outside of the Word of God. That's not my message. That you go out there and just get a steady diet of everything that's out there. That's not the message. This message is all about endeavoring to put ourselves in a place where we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and our lives through the Word of God and through those by whom His Spirit is working through, regardless. And that I don't decide, when I don't even know which way I'm supposed to go in the first place, to employ selective listening. An echo chamber involves selective listening. And an echo chamber also involves peer, P-E-E-R, reinforcement. Peer reinforcement. In other words, I'm trying to make a decision on which way to go. I think I'll go ask somebody that's in the same place that I'm in. Well, if I'm trying to find direction somewhere, and I've never been there, It's okay to ask somebody that's never been there, hey, have you figured out how to get there? I'm trying to figure out the right decision to make for my life. I want to get home safely. They said, well, I haven't been across that road before, but here's what I think. That's okay. But if that's all you do, an echo chamber can begin to involve where you just get what your own thought already is reinforced by somebody that's in the same place that you are. And then also that you are insulated, that you insulate yourself purposefully, perhaps, from rebuttal. In other words, I don't know what the right answer is, but I know what I want to do. You know, you grow up in homes, and sometimes I can't wait till I turn 18. I cannot wait till I can get out of this house and I can do it my way. Well, 18's going to come if the Lord spares time, and it'll come a whole lot quicker than sometimes what you think. And when it comes, and when you're out, and it's on your shoulders to make a decision. Not only do you get to make the decision, but you also get to carry the consequence. And you can say, and when that time comes, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. And sometimes you can get to that place and you want to insulate yourself from anybody telling you anything different. You may not know which way to take because you've never been there. But you know which way you want to take. And because you know which way you want to take, you might selectively, go get advice from your peers who are in the same place that you're in, that has also been wanting to do something different, and who also is insulating themselves from rebuttal. And then what you end up with is a situation where you have people that are telling each other what they want to hear, and maybe you have more than one, more than two. Maybe there's three or four. Maybe there's a group of you, and I think about it kind of like this. If this represents the beginning of time, well, I didn't live up here, but there's experiences and there's documentation of action and consequence, and there's the ageless Word of God, and my parents lived up here somewhere, and my grandparents lived up here, and I might have a little bit of knowledge of that, and there may be some people around me that have walked this road that I'm getting ready to walk, but now it's my turn and my friend's turn, the ones that stand before me and the youth that grew up with me, and now we've got this decision to make. Am I going to go right, left, straight, go back up, go sideways? What am I going to do? And these people can maybe encounter each other and recognize, hey, I'm feeling the same way as X over here. And X finds out that they feel the same way about Y. And lo and behold, there's Z over there too. And they kind of have some of the same thought process. And what they do, if you're not careful, this is a caution to all of us, not just the young people. This is all of us can get drawn into this. We can almost remove ourselves from the whole of knowledge and reason and available resources to make a good decision and pull ourselves over into this box, and X and Y and Z, X tells Z, this is how I think about it, and Z tells X the same thing they just said, and then Y says the same thing that X says, and X reinforces what Y said, and pretty soon it sounds like, well, that's everybody thinks that. that must be the way, the right decision, because everybody I'm talking to, they're saying the same thing I'm saying. That's not everybody. Brothers and sisters, that's not everybody in this box. But if we're not careful, we can be selective. And a lot of times it's selective regarding who we want to listen to, the response that we would like to get. And we have to be really careful that we don't just limit it to peers, because if it's our peer that's in the same place we're in, that's never been there before, they're not going to have a whole lot more to offer than what I have. Sometimes. It's just a caution. And then insulating yourself. This is insulating yourself from rebuttal. We can say, this is my life. It's my decision. It's what I want to do. And I really don't want to hear anybody say anything different to me. That's my decision. That let me do what I want to do. It's my life, and I really don't want to hear any rebuttal. Now, if somebody wants to agree with me, I'm happy to hear that. But I really don't want to hear rebuttal. Does this make sense? In this case, Rehoboam did call for the elders. He got some counsel from some others, which was good, and not everybody does that. But he did call the elders in this case, but then he forsook it. But then he made a decision. That's not what I want. I'm not going to give that consideration. And he pivoted towards taking the advice and the counsel that came from like-minded, less experienced, more self-centered individuals than those that were looking up for the greater good of the kingdom. Sometimes the right answer, and whether we turn right, left, back up, it involves looking ahead, back to the range of outcome. Maybe it's more difficult today. Maybe it's a more difficult decision to make today, but it sets us up for a much better place as we get down the road. And Rehoboam cast that aside, and he allowed himself to get put in this box, and the scriptures tell us that it led to much trouble in the kingdom. And brothers and sisters, this morning, it will lead to much trouble in our spiritual lives and in our lives if we live with an independent attitude, where our approach is, it's my life, it's my decision, I want to do it like I want to do it, and maybe we don't out loud tell ourselves that we're going to do this, but we have to be really careful as we're endeavoring to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing Jesus, reflecting Him to the world, making it safely home and helping others. I'm going to need some rebuttal in my life. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm going to need some of those elders to say, you know, you might want to consider this. I went down that road. Here's what happened. Here's what you need to watch out for. I don't want to just surround myself with all of those that just want to do the same thing that I want to do from a feeling and an emotion standpoint. I don't want to be selective to the point where the Holy Spirit gets squeezed out of this box, where the Holy Spirit doesn't have opportunity to speak to my heart through the Word of God or through other people. And we spoke last Sunday again about, or a couple Sundays ago, about the wisdom of getting counsel when you come to those places in life and you're not sure. You don't have established convictions in your heart. Just be careful. Keep this in mind that you're not seeking out so that you can check the box and say, I got counsel, I got advice, I talked with people, I didn't do this all on my own, I did my due diligence, and yet you did it in this framework. Just be careful and be honest with yourself. Proverbs 15 and 22 says, declares in one translation, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. And when it says many advisors, it's not talking about many advisors that where they're all in your peer group and where you've all insulated yourself from rebuttal and you're going to be very selective. But the advisors that have seen things that you haven't seen and that are there to help you along the way. Proven soldiers filled with the Holy Spirit manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Not those that maybe are emotionally hurt and those that are dead set on going a different way and have an objective that is not seeking first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Galatians, the fifth chapter, speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When making decisions, come to those places in the road and you say, what should I do? And you go and you get some feedback, some counsel. Maybe you're in a group and you begin to talk about this in a group setting. Look for the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in the vice that you're getting. Is there love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance? Or is it absent that? Is there a lot of self? Is the purpose outside of seeking first the kingdom of God? What is the spirit behind the counsel and the advice and the feedback that you're getting? And if it's not consistent with the fruit of the Spirit, consider getting some more advice somewhere else. Something that is consistent with the Word of God. Truth, even if it's difficult to hear, truth is what helps us get safely home. So I'll conclude with this summary this morning. When Rehoboam did it his own way, he got into trouble. When Rehoboam practiced this, he got into a lot of trouble. It completely divided the kingdom. And in the fear of the Lord this morning, I want to say that in your life, not just at the end of life when you stand before God and there's one or two places that you go, but in this life, when you're at that place where you're making decisions that is going to have so much to do with how your life goes, be careful that you're willing to be honest with yourself, with what your motive is, with what your purpose is. Have your eyes open and aware of the potential deception and risk of what we're calling an echo chamber. Now, Is an echo chamber always self-serving? No, an echo chamber can be filled with people that are afraid. And one person tells the other person, I'm afraid of this. And they say, I'm afraid of the same thing. And they said, well, did you hear that noise? And they said, I heard that noise. Did you hear that noise? And pretty soon, everyone's got everybody else scared. And it's not self-serving, but it's an echo chamber. And there are other times that it's possible that perhaps what is being talked about is right and true. It's right and true. Just be aware of what it is and handle it carefully. Again, be honest with yourself on your motivation. Give the Word of the Lord ample room in your life. Study the Scriptures. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you. Seek Holy Spirit-filled people to help give you counsel and advice. And if we follow these practices, honest souls can safely navigate the uncertainties of life and make it home. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the good news. And it is why the Lord sent us His Holy Spirit, so that He would teach us and lead us and guide us. Sometimes He speaks to our heart in the quiet moments of our lives, and other times the Holy Spirit will send somebody our way to help us make the right turn. That's my little message this morning. May the Lord inspire it to your hearts, and that we would have our hearts and our ears open to hearing the knock on our heart's door, even when it's on the outside of our preferences. Pray for me. I want to make it home safely. Amen.